Hey, Buzz, you hear about the Switch?
He's right over there.
Not that Switch, our Switch, to APG&E.
Well, we can do that?
Customers can switch electric suppliers anytime to find a better rate, lock in pricing.
I don't want new wires. I'm very attached to ours.
Only the part of the bill that covers electricity supply changes.
To APG&E?
People love their flexible, affordable electricity.
Nice.
Learn more at APGE.com.
Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.
Glad you're going to take this one because this is Texas calling. Hello?
This is a call from and paid for by a detainee at El Paso East, Montana. This call is subject to recording and monitoring. Press 1 or star to accept the call.
Seamus.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good. It's Neil at Red FM in Cork. Never mind about me. How are you?
I'm all right, Neil. Thank you.
This is absolutely insane what's happening to you. What?
Yeah. It's crazy. I thought it was kind of hard to get a call out, but I'm glad I got through to you.
No, I really appreciate it because we're trying to drum up as much support as we can for you right up to the level of the Taoiseach, particularly with his meeting with Donald Trump for St. Patrick's weekend. But what happened? People are mad keen to find out because you're there nearly 20 years. You're married to an American citizen. You have a working visa and you pretty much have your green card sorted. But ICE picked you up, was it?
That's right. ICE picked me up one day. I had finished work early. I went to the Home Depot hardware store to return some supplies that I didn't need. And I guess ICE were doing an operation in the Home Depot looking for a Brazilian national. They were running some number plates. I guess they ran mine. They saw that I didn't have a social security number yet. And they followed me and pulled me over. And they detained me. It was so out of the blue, you know.
Oh,
we were seeing all this stuff on the TV and not believing our eyes. And it's only gotten worse since then. I mean, I'm sure you're obviously aware, as is everybody in the world, of what's going on in Minneapolis and
yep.
how they're shooting citizens in broad daylight. And
yeah.
I have some
of the statistics.
Anymore,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'll get to that if I have an opportunity with you. But after they detained you, what happened next? Because this is last September.
That's right. So I was detained. It was probably about 11:30 a.m. in the morning, just before midday. I got off the phone to my mother. They detained me, put me in cuffs. They brought me to Burlington Detention Facility in Massachusetts, where I spent about 26 to 28 hours in an overcrowded holding cell. We got a couple of like microwavable meals. After the 26-hour mark, we were all moved. We didn't know where we were going. We were taken out of the cells. We were cuffed and shackled, put on a bus. That bus took us to Concord Airport in Concord, Massachusetts. From there, we flew to Buffalo, New York, to another ICE detention facility, Batavia Federal Detention Facility.
Yeah, yeah. And from there... go ahead.
We spent about 5 days in the holding cells over there. No sleep, no sanitary, no nothing, no showers, no phone calls, just torture. We eventually got processed and put into a room, into a housing cell, I guess, with a bunch of other detainees.
How many of you at this stage have been lifted?
It's hard to say. In my unit, when I finally got a bed, there was like 60-something other detainees.
Okay.
In the facility where I am right now, there's 72 detainees per room.
Okay, that's because you're now in Texas. But just ahead of that, when did you actually get to tell your wife, Tiffany, what was going on?
So, immediately after I got arrested, I pleaded with the arresting officer to just let me make a quick phone call because I was really close to home. My work van was just going to be left on the side of the street with all my tools and expensive tools, a bunch of DeWalt tools that I just bought. So I didn't want them to get stolen. So I pleaded. And I think out of pity, he let me call Tiffany really quick. I was one of the lucky ones because people don't get a phone call like that. And I just informed Tiffany what had happened. I was after getting detained and told her not to panic. you know, I'd speak to her when I could. I didn't get to speak to her until like 5 or 6 days later.
After you got to the detention center in Texas, 4,000 kilometers away from Boston, and you've been there since. And what is life like there? Describe to us what that holding area is like, that detention center.
Well, the best way I can describe it is just a modern-day concentration camp. We've got no human rights down here. People are starving. People are sick. People are tired. You know, it's impossible to sleep at night. There's no enforced bedtime, so people are up all night making noise. We get 3 meals a day. We get a breakfast at 7. We get a lunch at 12, and we get a dinner at 5. 3 kid-sized meals. That's all we get for the day. There's no commissary. There's no option to buy extra food like there is in a regular prison. It's just hell down here, hell on earth. There's guys here that have done time in prison. There's plenty of guys here that have done time in prison. Every single one of them, to a man, if they were given the choice, they'd choose prison over this place. That's how bad it is.
It's important to say at this stage that you have absolutely zero criminal record, neither here nor in America, not even a parking fine. And you tried to reason with them that you're married to an American citizen, you have a working visa. Were they just not listening?
No, they didn't care at all. They didn't care. Once they had me arrested, their job was done, and it was money in their pocket. I believe the more people that get arrested, you know, the more bonuses they get. You know,
the sanitation there is it appallingly bad as well as everything else.
It's very bad. Yeah, we're often without sanitary products to clean the unit. The toilets are disgusting. The showers are disgusting. The showers that we have, they're only weekend festival showers. You know, they're not meant to be used long term. So you can imagine the state of these places. We're often without hygiene products like shampoo and body wash. So you can imagine, you know, people can get pretty rife down here. It's horrible, horrible. And like I said, sickness and disease is rife in the facility here.
And have you got sick? Have you lost weight? Are you unwell?
I've been sick multiple times. I've had COVID. I've had some kind of flu. I've been sick multiple times. I've lost weight for sure. I've been unwell multiple times. We have bunk beds here. We have bunk beds. I'm quite a tall guy, so I like to be on the top bunk so I don't smash my head off the roof of the bunk bed, if you like, when I get up.
Yeah.
But when it rains down here, I mean, the top bunks just get soaked with rain. So we're often going around wet, damp, cold. There's central air blowing in on us, so you're wet and cold. It's just so miserable. It's so miserable. I can't even begin to explain it.
Well, you are explaining it very well, in fairness to you, and we appreciate it, because people need to know that, amongst other things, they are not respecting people's human rights at all.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. I have, you know... Also, racism is right down here. The security, so we don't have ICE dealing with us directly down here. We have a security firm that's rented out to look after us. So we'll have an officer in the pod from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. doing a 12-hour shift. And then we have a nighttime officer from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. doing the nighttime shift. You know, a lot of these people are just nobodies. They're hiring any Tom, Dick, and Harry off the street. They can't keep workers. People are constantly quitting. So, you know, a lot of them just see this as a game, you know.
Is there a communication problem? Are they being very selective as who they have a preference to?
For sure, yeah. Definitely the Hispanic guys get more preference down here, the Spanish speakers, for sure. The English speakers were a very small minority here. Very small minority, and we get discriminated against on a regular basis.
And is it very hostile there as well? I mean, are there fights regularly? Are you in fear for yourself?
For sure. I'm in fear for my life, yeah. Because, you know... The security firm that's contracted here, they've killed at least one person that I know of here who was handcuffed. They strangled him to death because he was demanding that he got his medicine. He needed his medicine, and they killed him. And that's just the one person that I know of. There's been medical neglect deaths. There's been suicides. There's actually been staff over the Christmas period. Staff were making bets whether a detainee would commit suicide between certain dates. It's after making bets on us, killing ourselves.
Okay. It's absolutely...
It's crazy.
It's so hard to take in what you're telling us. It really and truly is. Have you a lawyer working on your behalf? Because at one stage, a judge sided with you and said you should have been released on bail.
That's right, yeah. I do have a lawyer, Olga Winnie Akoi, out of Boss Legal in Massachusetts. She's really good. So, yeah. I got granted bail by an immigration judge, $4,000. My wife paid that, and there was no sign of me getting released up to 3 or 4 days later. So, you know, the government came back and said that they appealed my bond because the judge didn't have jurisdiction to give it to me. And that was it.
How is
I had to take my case. I had to take my case federal then.
And is that where it stands now? How is Tiffany coping with all of this and your family back home in Ireland, for that matter?
I mean, Tiffany's been amazing. Without her, I don't know what I'd do. You know, she's been my rock. She's been everything. I'd have been screwed without her. And, you know, as for my family at home in Ireland, they're suffering on a daily basis. Every day I'm in here, they're suffering.
They must be,
you know,
so worried.
Worried about me and my well-being.
Yeah.
Of course they are, yeah. And, you know, to the point where if I call them, especially my mother sometimes, you know, I don't want her worrying. I don't want to hear the worry in her voice, you know, but at the same time, she wants to hear from me. So it's a different situation, you know.
And tell me, how do you spend your day then? Do you get out to exercise? Are you confined to the tent, or how is that working?
Yeah, I mean, 90% of the time we're confined to the tent here. There is an option to go outside. We have a very small five-a-side soccer area that we can go out to. So you have 10 people playing soccer in this area, and then you have 62 people standing around the perimeter, not being able to exercise a little. You just stood there like animals, you know? So for that reason, I don't even go outside. You just stood there, you know, like sardines in a can.
Oh, basically.
That's the only outside area we have.
Has society learned anything at all from what went on in the world? Dogs will be treated better.
Honestly, yeah, it's like history is repeating itself here. Draconian times here in El Paso, I can tell you that right now.
Did they try to get you to sign a deportation order?
Yeah, they tried to have me sign multiple times. The first time was in Buffalo, New York, back in September. I said no. I said I actually contested the allegations against me. And I wrote down in a little square box on a piece of paper the reasons why I was contesting it, and the reasons were I'm married to a US citizen and I have a work permit. And that was fine. I didn't sign my name to anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because if you had, they would have kicked you out straight away. Yeah, yeah.
Of course, yeah, of course. So then, you know, there was a lot of tomfoolery that went on, and my name was signed a couple of times, magically, numerous times actually, on deportation orders. And, you know, long story short, we went to the federal courthouse here in El Paso, Texas, and a judge sided with the ICE agents and believed everything that they said.
And that's why you are aware.
I did accuse the US government of forgery without any real evidence to back it up, you know.
If you didn't sign any of the documents, come on, you know, is it any wonder that you would be annoyed?
You know, I'm not a literate. I'm not a smart man, but I'm definitely not a literate. I can read and I can understand, you know what I'm saying, English perfectly well. I've got the documents that they were trying to have me sign it. I'm not signing anything without speaking to my lawyer. That was it.
You haven't suffered any physical abuse, have you, though, Seamus?
There's been no real physical abuse here, no. I mean, there's fights break out over food and stuff like that, and there's arguments that happen on a daily basis, but, you know, I'm pretty confident in myself and not worried that way, you know. I do fear the staff, though. I do fear the security firm now. If they can kill people that are handcuffed, they can kill anyone down here, you know.
And are you handcuffed a lot of the time?
We're only handcuffed if we're going to court or being transferred outside the facility for any reason. It's a waist chain, and your wrist cuffs are connected to the waist chain, and then you have ankle bracelets on as well. So you're going around like an axe murderer, basically.
Oh my God!
Whenever you're going to court or whatever.
And do you want the Irish government to step up on this one, right up to the Taoiseach, considering that he's going to be with President Donald Trump next month in the Oval Office?
Yeah, I mean, if if he has the nerve to step up to Donald Trump, then yeah, I really would like somebody to do something about it. Yeah, it's a psychological torture down here, you know. Like I said, locked in the same room for 4.5 months, looking at the four walls all day, every day, no way to pass the time. It's horrible. I wouldn't put it on any human being at all.
And you have no idea how long this will continue for, of course. It's not you don't have an end date as such.
No, absolutely not. And there's been people down here that have signed their own deportation orders, and they're still held captive for like 2-3 months after. They don't even deport them, that's right. They hold on to them as long as they can.
But you're not going to do that, are you? You're not going to sign anything, no? Because if you do, you're out of the country. You don't want that.
I refuse to sign anything. Why should I cooperate with anyone after what they've done to me? You know, they've signed my name now without my consent. They can do it again, as far as I'm concerned. I will not cooperate with any of these people.
Where are you right now? I'm hearing a lot of noise in the area. Is that other detainees going about their thing, doing their thing, about their business?
Yeah, it's lunchtime at the moment, so people are kind of up getting their lunch and chit-chatting.
What would you get for lunch, just typically?
I'll tell you right now, I have my plate here. My buddy grabbed it for me. We have chicken tamale with cheese sauce, Spanish preference, and beans. Very small plate.
So you have made some friends. Have you got your own little group of friends, yeah?
Yeah, I have a very good buddy, especially from the Democratic Republic of Congo. We got arrested in Massachusetts on the same day, and we've pretty much been here ever since. And, you know, I feel very bad for him. He suffers racist abuse down here on the regular. He's been called the N-word, I don't know how many times in front of me. I've been called the N-word cover. It's a disgrace the way people treat people down here. And this is staff. This is the security firm that's hired to look after us. This is not other detainees calling them that.
It's hard to believe. It's unbelievable in this day and age. It's like Guantanamo Bay stuff. Listen, I don't want to keep you because I want to allow you to have your lunch because mealtimes are very, very important. But here's hoping that the Irish government are listening right up to the Taoiseach. We'll certainly be sending him on this audio. Tiffany must be beside herself with worry. Never mind your parents at home. But you're in fairness to you are coping. You're putting on a brave face and you're holding on. That's important.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Neil. And I'd just like to say I appreciate the support that I've got from everyone back home. It's been overwhelming. I wasn't sure if this was the right steps to take or not, but, you know, I'm glad my sister has been a big part of getting the word out there. So I'm really grateful to her.
That's Caroline, isn't it, back in Ireland? Your sister Caroline. No, it is important to get the word out. Yeah, it really is. Because you want this nightmare to end.
I do. I really do, yeah.
Okay. Look after yourself, Seamus.
You know?
Okay, I'll let you get on. Thanks so much for taking the call. Mind yourself.
No problem. Bye-bye. Thank you.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.